Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I want to take a moment before we celebrate communion, and I want us to look at a couple of scriptures, and I'd like to maybe just kind of introduce it this way. Have you ever seen something that you wanted? Okay, I'm talking to the right group of people. See something that you want, you make plans to get it. And you want to own it. And you want it to be yours. I remember feeling like that so badly, deeply, passionately, at a time before I ever owned a house. I wanted to buy a house. I wanted to own a house. And then I bought a house. And then I owned a house. Well, the mortgage company owned it, but you know what I mean, right, Andy? Yeah. By the way, we said happy birthday to you back when you turned 70 a couple weeks ago or so, you know. By the way, you look good. You get a haircut or something? Woo, you're looking good, man. They got a barber in Melrose? Well, I didn't know. I just asked. I know some of you are wondering, like, do I know a barber at all? But anyhow... Some of you here, though, wish you could still go to a barber. Never mind. Hey, no, I didn't say who. And got our first house and thought, this is going to be great. We're gonna own a house along with, you know, the mortgage company. Own a house, and this is going to be great. And I did like it, and I did enjoy it. But then I discovered that before too long, the house owned me. A lot of going on. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, it means that now anything that goes wrong with that house, I got to pay for and fix. Or pay someone to fix it. In my case, mostly it was pay someone to fix it. Not that I had money, it's just that I don't know anything. You know, not that my father didn't know. He knew. I just didn't learn much of that kind of trade from him because I was usually busy, you know, playing ball, you know, depending on the season. Discovered some of those abilities, skills, trades a little later in life. Well, I shouldn't really say I'm skilled, but, you know, I learned some introductory things. By diving in, okay? You know, when it came to renovation, you know, this wasn't our first home, but it was another home that we owned because my wife, she likes, I don't want to say old things because I'm not sure what that means about me, but she likes old homes, old houses. And, you know, high ceilings, wood floors, plaster walls with no insulation. She likes that. All the woodwork and, you know, this little horizontal window that you really can't see out because you're not 8 feet tall. And it's called a piano window that has no practicality whatsoever. Piano window, what that means is that's where you put your big upright piano underneath. And there's a window. You have to kneel on top of the upright piano to see out the window. Now, I'm not criticizing her taste because I have an appreciation for those things. But I'm not real interested, probably. But I would do it for her. of living in an old home. Because it starts to own you. I remember saying, okay, we got this house, and it's old, and I am excited, and I'm happy for us, I'm delighted for her, but understand that the kitchen in this old house isn't going to work for us. The way it was laid out, no counter space, lack of cupboards, and it's just, it's not going to work. You know, I wanted to say, well, the woman who owned this house, she raised six kids in this house, and this was her kitchen. We only have four. What's the problem? But I wanted to stay married. I knew the kitchen wouldn't work. We bought the house anyhow, knowing that we would have to at some point renovate it. I didn't realize that once we signed the papers on the house, the renovation had to start. And did this renovation and discovered that we didn't own a house. This house owned us. It took that, what we call free time, any disposable $15 that you had went to that stuff. And then you discovered that you must have had disposable thousands, because that's what it cost by the time you were done. A lot of you men are just kind of got your head down and bobbing, and you're trying not to make too much noise because the lady sitting next to you is going to smack you. The house begins to own you, but you wanted to own the house. It's funny how things we look at, and there's this flip-flop that happens, this role reversal. Have you ever seen something else that you wanted to own? And over time in years, you begin to own a lot of things. And all of a sudden, those things begin to own us. We want a vacation property. I mean, we want one. We've never had one. We just, you know, go visit my parents who live in the North Woods. You know, that's, you know. And so you, one of some of you maybe want a vacation home or vacation property or a little cabin. And all of a sudden, now you got your house. You got the cabin. And I'm not against these things. I'm just saying that something happens where it begins to own us. It begins to take us away. I bought this to go and relax and enjoy. Why am I working? Why is it owning me? We say we own it, but it owns us. It's like wanting to be a part of a team. And I don't mean necessarily when you're in school. I'm talking about adult life. You want to be involved in some recreation, which is good. It's right. It's not wrong. It's not some sinful thing. It's you want to be a part of it. You want to do it. And then after, you know, so many weeks and months of it, you go, oh, I got that stupid bowling league. But you couldn't wait to be a part of it. You want, and all of a sudden you want to be a part of it. But after a while, it starts to own you. And you start to go, oh, you know, oh, I got to show up. I got to do this. And I pick bowling because bowling leagues are like, how many weeks, Dennis, out of the year? How many? 32 weeks out of 52 weeks a year. I only asked him because, you know, he used to do that stuff. Actually, I don't know if you know this about this guy. He used to bowl in leagues and tournaments. He was a Florida State champ in bowling. I don't know if you knew that about Dennis. This guy can throw a bowling ball. I mean, it's fun to watch. He's pretty smooth. He's got a 300 ring. I mean, it was in a tournament. You know, it wasn't like you can go down on Saturday and you luckily bowl a 300 and they're going to give you the big diamond ring. I mean, you had to do this in tournament, league play, and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, he's got the 300 ring. What size is that ring? I'm just out of game. You know, we get into things that we want to own. And somewhere along the line, it begins to own us. I want you to look at a scripture verse about ownership. And it's not about owning things. By the way, I can't find my reading glasses. John, you have some? I don't know where they are. Thank you. I don't know where they are. And if you happen to come across a pair that are in a plastic orange case, there's a chance that they're mine. These aren't going to work. Oh, if I get close, I can... Yeah. Thanks, John. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. See, my reading glasses, I can stand about like this, but yours are... Thanks, John. This is working. I'll get a sore back, but these are working. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to read these verses to you. And really, it's in the context of a whole letter here that Paul's writing. But I want us to pull out a couple of verses here. And, you know, there's much to say about these two verses, but I want us to just pick out, you know, a piece of this. He says in verse 19, "Do you not know," this is the Apostle Paul writing a letter under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God revealing to him what to write to the church in Corinth. And so it's called Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. He says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God?" Now I want us to really catch into this later part of verse 19 and going into 20. Here it goes. He says, Now he's talking to them because they have faith in Christ. And he's saying, "Do you not know this? Here you are." He goes, "I'm ready to tell you. You are not your own. You were bought at a price." And then it says, "Therefore honor God with your body." Now, I don't want us to talk necessarily about us as the temple of the Holy Spirit this morning. And can I keep this for a while, John? When I say a while, just this morning, not like I'll give it to you in a couple weeks. Make sure you get them for me because they could go where mine are, wherever that is. He says, you know, as to the Christian, now that you're a Christian, you are not your own. It's talking about owning and ownership. He says you were bought with a price. Now, what was the price? Yeah, okay, here we go. You're all right. We were bought with what? Jesus died on a cross, shed his blood so that we could be purchased, saved, delivered from what? Sin. Why? Because sin, what? Owned us. See, here's the interesting thing. That when we don't have faith in God and a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you know, we're always, you know, you kind of feel like I'm my own person. I can decide what I want to decide, what I'm going to do, when I'm going to do it, how I'm going to be, all of those things. I am the one calling the shots. Here's the interesting thing. Here's the flip-flop. I want to own my own life, but here's the deal. Without Christ, sin owns us. But sin will never tell you that. Wants to keep us kind of in the dark and keep us feeling like, hey, that's a way, you're your own person, you're your own life. And here's the reality. We are born into sin, we've committed sin. How many of you have ever sinned? Listen, wait, pause, keep your hand up. I want to see if there's a liar among us. I mean, you're in the church. Don't wave at me, keep your hand up. Not up and down, keep it up, man. How many of you could put two hands up? Yeah. Oh, Doug Buddy, is your hand up? What are you, tired? Your Bible's heavy. Gotcha, all right. It's funny, when I turn my back, you put your hands down. When I turn around again, you put them back up. Uh-huh. Hey, we've sinned, so here's the deal. Sin separates us from God. Okay? Because he's holy. It doesn't mean that he doesn't love us. It's just that he's holy, and in his presence, there can't be sin because he's holy. And so there's this separation. And God has a purpose and a love for us. And when we sin, we separate ourselves. We were born into sin. We were separated from God. That's why God had this marvelous plan of sending his only begotten son to die for us. Because we know it took pure blood for the forgiveness of sin. Jesus gave his life on the cross, died for us, so that our sins could be forgiven, so that what? We could be restored to God. Well, all that did is it didn't just forgive everybody. It provided forgiveness for those who would step into the faith saying, thank you, I believe in you, forgive me, I'm in. I want to apply that gift to my life. So we were bought with the price. What was the price? Jesus Christ, God gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe upon him, right? If we believe upon Jesus, then we ask forgiveness. We believe upon his blood that forgives us. And now we can be restored to God. We are no longer owned by sin. This whole ownership thing, things can own us. We talked a little bit about that. Here's a sign sometimes that things begin to own us. Does it take you away from important things? Does it take you away from God? Does it take you away from family? You discover those important priority things that, you know, if we're real honest about, we say, yeah, there's the list. Without being biased, trying to taint the list so that I look better, no, that's the actual list. And then we look at ourselves. There are things in life that take us away. And there are moments that we are to go and be faithful and take care of things. Absolutely no question. We get that. But when it becomes a pattern for us that other things own us, let me ask you this. Your occupation, your job, your boss, do they own you? You think, hey, man, of course, because I like getting a paycheck. Well, we're called to work. We're called to be faithful. We understand that. Work is going to probably take you away from your family. But the other part is this. If you don't work, you don't get paid and you can't feed them. And you can't buy that house you want to own. Ha ha, it's going to own you. And it's okay. I mean, you got to work that stuff out. But it's this, we've got to understand it. Is my house going to take me away from having a home? Follow? Is my house going to become what owns me? Am I going to lay down my life for my house? Or am I going to lay down my life for my home, my family? Does your occupation just constantly take you away where your family loses out? Is there something you're so preoccupied with in doing, having, or taking care of? Listen, I was at a place yesterday, a beautiful country kind of home and an old historic barn with an actual redwood silo. Another building, it was 100 and some acres and all kinds of trails through there. I mean, it was beautiful, it was wonderful. And then I looked at this nice man who owned it and I said to him, it's a beautiful place. I said, where do you find the time to maintain it? And he just went, oh, if you only knew. We look at these things, they look nice, but all of a sudden they own us. I'll tell you, right now, Sue and I, we rent a house, and it's not our favorite thing. We would look forward to, you know, buying a house and being owned again. I mean, owning a house again. But I'll tell you, for a little reprieve here, it's not been so bad. I'm not the one that has to fix the basement because when it rains, water fills up down there. You know, I'm not the one that has to take care of that. It's kind of nice. But there are signs that things take us away. who owns us. Listen, what I have, you may call it, a clergy, it's a, pastor, it's a job. And, I get that in the right context, but, I look at mine as it's been a calling. And so it's not about just pleasing people or pleasing the board. It's about who's called me to do this. And along the way in the life of ministry, there's no question. My family has made some sacrifices for the calling. However, it wouldn't be a wonderful and grand calling untainted if I lose my family. And so there are times that the ministry too is going to make some sacrifices for the sake of my family. That's just how I've lived. I'm not telling you it's perfect. I'm just telling you, as a man who's a pastor and has a calling to do what I'm doing right now, and I have a family, that they've made some sacrifices. Listen, I know this. If I'm real honest, I know this. I know my wife could have married somebody else. I know that she could have done better. I know that she could have probably married somebody who was successful in the eyes of this. I get all that, okay? She never says that to me. She never threatens me with it. She doesn't. I've been blessed. I know that she's made a lot of sacrifices over the years. I know my kids have, but at the same token, I've tried to, with God's help, say no to certain things so that I could try to be a husband, try to be a decent one, and try to be a decent dad. The calling is, God owns me. I'm saved just as a man. He called me, and I want to labor in his kingdom. But at the same token, within that, I had to be careful that the church boards and the pastors that I worked for and the congregations, they didn't own me. That's not ruthless, that's not hard. But if I ran and did everything and tried to meet everybody's expectations and happiness and all that and lost my family along the way, what good? What good is that? And I'm just talking about my personal life. You apply these principles to you. There are moments where your family will make sacrifices for you and for what you want to do. Okay? But that can't be a continued pattern. And I'm not talking just to, husbands here. I'm talking to any of us in the context of our life. What owns us? Sin used to own us. We think we owned our own life and we were calling the shots. But really, sin had us owned. I want you to look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Look at this. Check this out. Verse 16. We'll start with verse 15. Paul's writing now to the church in Rome, to the Christians in Rome, and he says, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace?" In other words, through God's kindness to us, he sent Jesus, and now he's been gracious to us. So now because of his grace or his saving power to forgive me, do I just kind of live how I want because I can always go back and say, hey, forgive me? Paul's writing here and saying, that's not how this is. That's not how faith works. That's not how a relationship with God works. Should you continue sinning and say that you're not under the law? In other words, you can't do anything wrong because you have God's grace? He says, no, by no means. End of verse 15. Now verse 16. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as a slave or as slaves, you are slaves to whom the one you obey. Get this. The one you obey is the one that you're slave to. So say this with me. We are all slaves. It's whoever we submit to, we are committed to them, we are obligated to them, we are a slave to them. There was a time before faith in Christ where we were slaves to our own desires. The Bible talks about that in several places. In other words, we thought we were running the show, but in reality, whatever we desired, whatever we went after that began to own us, that we were slaves to that. It's wonderful, probably, owning 300 acres of land. But at some point, you want to develop it or do something, it's going to own you. You think it's wonderful to make all the trails on land? It is wonderful. Don't forget, now you got to go through and mow them. You got to trim all the branches. You don't want them overhung. You want it to be smooth. You got to pick up the dead wood. A tree fell over. I got to go out and cut it down. You know, all these things. And we can enjoy that. There's nothing wrong with it. But we have to remember that there are things that all of a sudden, we only have so many hours in a day. We have only so much time. We only have so much energy. We only have so much of us to give. Where are we going to give it? What is going to own us? We relay that in our physical life as a spiritual principle. And Paul's writing here that we're all slaves. We're slaves to whatever we obey. So here we go. Now, we'll pick up there at verse 16 again. Don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone to obey them, that you are their slave? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. Either way, we're a slave. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, he's talking to the Christians now, those who put faith in Christ, ask forgiveness and, you know, believe in Jesus, died on a cross, paid for their sin. He says, but thanks be to God that you used to be slaves of sin. Now you wholeheartedly obey the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. In other words, the gospel. You have been set free from sin. We were once slaves to sin, to our own way of thinking, our own way of doing things. We thought we were in charge, but there was really a flip-flop. We were owned by all those things. Now, through Christ, because he died for us, he shed his blood for us, we can be forgiven, and we are no longer owned by it. We are free, listen to this is tricky wording, free to be slaves to God. Now, some of you who don't know God real well, that might scare you. Listen, but thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves of sin, you wholeheartedly obey the form of teaching to which you are entrusted, the gospel. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves, just as you used to offer parts of your body, and it goes on. Here's the thing. We were slaves to sin, now faith in Christ. We apply his blood to our life to forgive us so that we're free from sin, because sin leads to death. And now we step into eternal life, okay, because we're forgiven. We have faith in Jesus Christ. We know the love of God. The Holy Spirit's at work in us, his Spirit. And now we are his slaves. But here's the difference. Sin, we were slaves to it. It had control over us. Have you ever heard somebody say, who you know kind of has a problem, maybe an addiction in some area, okay? And right away when you say addiction, you know, I know you think, oh, alcohol. Yep, I know about those alcoholics. Oh, I know about those, they're addicted to drugs, you know. Oh, not illegal drugs, but, you know, they keep getting the prescriptions, and all of a sudden they're addicted to that. They're okay, but they can't function without it. And, you know, these addictions. Hey, listen, there's a whole new set of addictions in addition to this that are robbing people. You know where I'm going with this. You look at the university studies of bright, talented, even scholarship material students in university. They're flunking out, and now many universities have addiction support groups for those students who are addicted to video games, because they don't study and don't go to class. And they stay up for days, and then they collapse. And they don't show up to class, they don't do their homework. And they have, yet universities now have support groups for video games. And you're sitting here thinking, well, I'm not addicted to alcohol. I'm not addicted to this. I'm not addicted to video games. I'm not blah, 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 blah. Do you own Facebook, or does Facebook own you? Now, You might be on it 3 hours, and that doesn't mean that Facebook necessarily owns you. You have to determine that. Or video games. I'm looking down here. I'm so glad you guys are in the front row. Is anybody feeling conviction up here? Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know? Hey! You've heard me say some of this before. Listen, do you own your cell phone? Who's in charge, you or your cell phone? Who is in charge? Does the phone own you or do you own it? Because, you know, it's this. You are with me, but you are not with me. I mean, I see your body here, but your eyes are not looking at me and your thumbs are very busy. And I thought you and I were having a conversation. Son. I'm picking on him because he's safe. Listen. It was wonderful. I went, and this was, I loved this. I had a lunch appointment with somebody this week. And he met me here. And then we went in my vehicle over to grab lunch. Mary, this was great. I loved this. And we were getting out of the vehicle to walk and have lunch at an establishment here in town. I should probably tell you what it is so you don't think it's a bar. Actually, they have a bar at this place. It's Jake's Northwoods. I had a lunch there. By the way, very nice lunch. Good food. I enjoyed it. Anyhow, I mentioned you on the podcast, by the way. You now owe 10% to the church for that advertisement. Anyhow, just in case someone would listen from there. Okay. Anyhow. We were getting out of the vehicle to go in, and he happened to notice that I left my cell phone in the coffee holder, or center console. He said, aren't you going to bring your phone? I said, no, I'm having lunch with you. Oh, Pat, that felt so good. Not that I didn't have to bring my phone call and I wouldn't be interrupted. That's not the problem. It's that I was going to lunch with this guy. And I didn't want to be going, Oh, I'm sorry that your wife just fell down the stairs. So you ran red light and crashed against me. Okay, yeah. I'm there, but I'm not there. Listen. Do you know that people actually survived the previous to 1970 sometimes, without a phone with them all the time. Did you know that? Did you know that? Some of us are still alive to talk about it. You know, in between digging up dinosaur bones, way back then, hey, come on! I'm all for technology. There's things about it I don't understand. I don't have a sweet clue, but I use this stuff. But I got to make sure it doesn't own me. How would you like to be pouring out your heart to someone and they can't really look at you because they're doing this under the table in the booth? Like we don't know what you're doing. If the pacemaker goes off, that's a huge deal. But when your phone vibrates in your pocket, don't act like it's your pacemaker. It's not life or death. Now, there are circumstances that you're waiting for. I get all that stuff. But when it's a pattern, it's a great example of this whole ownership. We think we own the phone. And all of a sudden, the phone owns us. We have been set free from sin and death spiritually. Through God's love and Jesus Christ on the cross, He bought us with a price. That's what we read earlier. He bought us with a price. It was costly. It's free to us, but it wasn't cheap. Now we are free from sin through faith in Christ, asking Him to be our personal Savior, to begin to walk with Him and learn Him and have a relationship with Him, to continue to walk in that salvation life. oh, we still sin, but we know how to get back and say, hey, I'm sorry, that I need your help. Hey, then we stay in salvation. That's cultivating. It's being perfected. It's learning new ways. All things are becoming new, the scripture says, right? It's a process, but we're started, we're saved, and we continue to progress. Now listen, here's the thing. Why be, if you're going to be a slave to sin or be a slave to righteousness, I mean, you're a slave either way. What's it matter? Here's what matters. When you're a slave to sin, it controls you, whether you like it or not. Whether you admit it or not, that's the reality. When you are free from that, put faith in Christ, you are free to be a slave to righteousness. Here's the difference. When you are a slave to righteousness, it is by your own will. You have loved me. You have been good to me. You have provided a forgiveness for me. You've made a way for me to get out of this and now be a slave to righteousness. Here's the thing. I'm not so much a slave because I have to be. It's now I want to be. I want to be yours. I want to be yours. Listen, the scripture says, you know, when you were a slave to sin, do you remember what your life was like? What good has come from it? Paul writes, he asks the question, what good has come from it? Ooh, from doing things your own way. What good has come from it? Listen, it's like people who come and say, you know, I want help. I need some help. This is what's going on. I need some help. And then we talk about, okay, maybe here's some things, a starting place that you can begin to work and work with God and all that. And here's the thing. We just want to be delivered. We don't want to be changed. I want to be delivered and not have to face, you know, death because of sin, you know, spiritual death forever and be separated from God and hell and all. I don't want that. I want to be saved and I want to be okay, but I don't want to change. Listen, if we keep doing the same things, we're going to get the same results. So there has to be a change that takes place in me. In us, there has to be a change. Listen, you can bring your phone with you to lunch appointments. I mean, it's not like if I have my phone, you know, sometimes it rings when I'm with people, and sometimes I'll say, you know what, I got to look at this because I'm expecting a call from someone. I have to look at it because it's an important call. Okay, great. It's not them, fine. Got it. I put it away. Or it rings and I just go whoosh, like that, and the person looks at me like, oh. I'm just used to people taking the call. Like I'm, you know, a freak. What owns us? Are we choosing, because Christ freed us, are we choosing willingly to be what we call his slaves? But he is not a taskmaster. He loved us, saved us to come into his family. It's totally different than sin owning us. I got to tell you something, and this is for those who are Christians in this room. We treat Christianity sometimes as Christians. Like, you know what? I know God's good, and he saved me, and all of that. And, you know, I throw a few bucks in the offering plate. I kind of volunteer a little at church. I do some nice things to some strangers. You know, all the kind of the little nice, little good character-looking things. Oh, there's sound. I've been wearing my mic funny or something this morning. Hey! All right. Whoa, let me bend that a little bit. I need one of these at home. Hey! Okay. Here's the thing. As Christians, we treat Christianity, relationship with God sometimes, like when we do these good little things, like I'm partnering with God. I want you, if you've missed a lot of this morning, I want you to just catch this. I want you to just catch this. I need to catch this in my own life. I got to remember this. God is not interested in partnering with us. He is interested in ownership. Bible says we are not our own. We belong to him now through the faith. But here's the wonderful thing about God. It's like, I own you, and I'm going to... You know, this is my son here, if you don't know. It's okay for me to do this to him while I still can. You're a good-looking boy. God wants to own us, but here's the thing. He respects a gift he gave us, the ability to choose and to have a will. That we would say, God, you've loved me so much. And I recognize your kindness to me. I don't know all about you yet. This is kind of new for me because we all start at this place. But if you're really like Jesus is in the scripture and not like how I've interpreted Christians in church sometimes, but the real you, I want to have a relationship with you. Basically, I want to be in relationship with you. And if it's called a slave to righteousness, I'm not hung up on the word slave because I know you're not a taskmaster beating me into submission. You love me. You've been kind to me. And I'm going to respond to that. And I'm going to choose to be your person. You own me. I was bought with a price. And I'm glad you bought me, even though I didn't ask you to, because I was owned by sin before. I did what sin wanted, or sin's desires in me. And I thought I was in charge, and sin deceived me into thinking I was in charge, when really, it owned me. You died for me, not that I could be your partner, but that you could own me, save me, heal me, help me. You see, that's what, well, that's really what the good news, we call it good news, the good news of the gospel is. But we as Christians in this room, for some of you maybe aren't Christians yet, or you kind of, well, I kind of scratched the surface or heard about, or it's kind of new to, but those of you who've been Christians for a while, listen, God is not interested in your partnership. You are still not your own. And it's amazing how we want to be saved, but we still want to bring, you know, this part of us that says, hey, I'm still calling the shots. I mean, I've offered some things. I've done some nice things. I appreciate you forgiving me, but, you know, there's some other things that own me right now. You want to talk about revival, spiritual awakening, a growing church, faith that's meaningful. Listen, we need to understand the conviction when God arrests us and says, hey, you say I own you, and you willingly want to. You want that blessing, but in reality, the way you're living your life, your trail and your history says that, you know what, I don't really own you. You're saying the right things, and in your heart, you want the right things, but you haven't changed anything to say, God really owns me.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.